CliffCentral.com. Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I am Timothy Maurice, and I'm really excited about today's show. Thank Gareth and everyone here. I mean, this has been an exciting year so far. Some exciting stuff has happened. Congratulations to Donald Trump. Irrespective of what you think, the bottom line is the democratic process has went through in a very sort of peaceful way. Peaceful so far, that is. But again, I am Timothy Maurice, and this is Unbranded. This is the show where we explore the link between human and brand behavior, unpacking the science of how brands impact the psychology of people and people in all of its complexity, how we become brands and impact corporate organizations as well. So this show really explores the science of it all, looking at how people evolve, how brands evolve, and how they impact each other. And today, I want to simplify things a bit, and I want to talk about discovering your purpose. People ask me all the time, how do you discover your purpose? How did I find mine? Well, I'm going to talk about that today. And of course, at the end of the show, we have Rianette Lebowitz coming with her cyber health feature at the end, where she's going to share extraordinary insights about thriving online cyber safety. I've always believed that religious groups make finding your purpose seem far too complicated and confusing. That's what I believe. And they make people who have not heard some loud, audible voice from the heavens, they make these people feel bad. So I thought I would step back and share my thoughts from my experiences, which is a combination of being exposed to the best science, global spiritual leaders from many religions, as well as my travels throughout Asia, Europe, and the Americas, how to discover your purpose. If you're the type of person who's listening, who's going, I'm just making money, or I'm not even making money. I don't know what I want to do with my life. I'm studying, or I've studied, and I have no idea what my purpose is. I think this is the show for you. And people, you know what's interesting about this conversation about purpose is that I feel that even the great thinkers made it complicated. Let's share a few thoughts from some of the great thinkers and what they had to say. And the Dalai Lama said, the purpose of life is to be happy. Really? So if I'm happy but broke, does that mean I found my purpose? I don't know. I respect the Dalai Lama a lot. But I'm not sure that's the full answer. The great thinker Albert Schweitzer said the purpose of human life is to serve and to show compassion and the will to help others. I like that. But is that enough? Does that answer your thing? You're probably already helping people and going, I don't know if I've discovered my purpose. The brilliant Nobel scientist Stephen Hawking said, it's work that gives you meaning and purpose in life. Do you agree with that? Do you think it's work only? I'm not sure either. Then there's people like Dennis Waitley who came along and said, winners are people that have definitive purpose. Okay, so we've talked, we've based on what these extraordinary thinkers have said, you're probably still thinking, well, that doesn't really help me much. So that's why I wanted to do this show. You can see you've probably been to a church or a mosque or synagogue and going, I still don't know. Is my purpose just to rear kids? If so, that's an extraordinary purpose, I think. I'm going to unpack three levels of purpose. And hopefully by the end of this show, it will change everything you've ever thought about purpose. This is going to be a slightly shorter show. But my goal is to get straight to the point and make sure that you leave here and that not only will you be able to sort of have a firmer grasp over purpose, but that you'll be able to share it with people that you love and care about. You know, without a sense of purpose, it's easy to feel lost. In fact, if purpose is defined as the reason someone or something exists, then everyone should know their purpose, right? If a person doesn't know their purpose, is it career limiting? By knowing yours, do you have a competitive advantage? When it comes to articulating exactly why someone was born, the term should be defined on an individual basis. And I believe that with all my heart. Each individual has to confront the mirror and have a conversation about why it is I am here. But I am going to talk about some universal things about why we are here. Every religion and school of philosophy has attempted to define why we are born. in the early 1900s, the psychologist Oji Mandino expounded on purpose and believed it had everything to do with increasing one's presence rather than withering to nothing, saying, I am here for a purpose, and that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink into a grain of sand. Henceforth will I apply all my efforts to become the highest mountain of all, and I will strain my potential until it cries for mercy. I really like that a lot. He says, I will strain my potential until it cries for mercy. But still, how do we discover it? The Swiss psychotherapist Carl Jung, credited as founder of analytical psychology, said, as far as we can discern, the sole purpose of human existence is to kindle a light in the darkness of mere being. Meaning that by being a light through your example, that's purpose. Let's keep going. While these great thinkers offer a glimmer of hope to anyone grappling with the meaning of their existence, their concept of purpose has the potential of leaving one wanting more. For mothers of two beautiful kids, is your purpose ensuring your kids have a bright future? When the 21-year-old student continues to fall in critical core subjects or fail in critical core subjects, is their purpose ruined? If a CEO is appointed to turn around the company, but they fall miserably, did they destroy their purpose? Identifying and being comfortable that you are living your purpose is not as complicated as we make it out to be. That's why I wanted to have this show. There are three levels of purpose. I'm going to unpack this a bit more, but the first question I want you to ask is what I term daily purpose. This day, today, what the day-to-day way of living is concentrated around survival and thriving in the short term. Everyone is responsible for ensuring their society moves forward in a positive manner. By paying your bills on time, feeding your kids, helping the helpless, taking good care of yourself, you create an environment that contributes to a healthy function in society. Then there is the internal sort of purpose. Many fumble in their daily goals because they aren't able to see meaning beyond the daily routines. Some feel like the purpose is to sing, and others give everything to save millions of orphans, and many devote their lives to inventing the next Facebook. All forms of purpose. Intra or internal purpose is where you are able to marry your natural abilities, things you do well with little to no effort, with your instinctual or impulse-generated desires. You know, the thing is, by being in touch with what makes your heart tick, your internal life comes alive, and you're able to engage with a personal purpose that can inspire you to do mind-blowing things. Now, what I just read you, as you can hear I was reading, what I just read you was from an article I wrote about purpose nearly 2 years ago. But now, I want to give you the raw deal. I really believe, I gave you two phases of purpose earlier, the sort of external and the internal. But there are three levels of discovering your purpose, and I want you to write these down. Get a note and paper. If you're listening to this while you're at the gym, just keep running, doing whatever you're doing, but go back and listen to this again. There are three levels. The first level is what I call active purpose, which is in the present. What is the purpose of eating? The purpose of eating, simple. Purpose of eating is to make sure that you have nutrients, that you can move forward. What's the purpose of showering? To remove bacteria, to be clean. What's the purpose of working a job? To pay bills. This is active purpose. These are things that have a very specific sort of goal. What is the purpose of me producing this podcast? It is to give you ideas, inspiration, provoke you to think differently, to have strategic sort of goals. This is active purpose. This is sort of basic level surface purpose. And you don't have to question that. It's not very deep. It's not very philosophical. It's very simple. The second level of purpose is what I call biological purpose. On a fundamental level in life, the brain is wired to make connections. In fact, a memory is a connection. Every thought, every idea, every piece of information in your brain are stored on billions of little neurons floating around in your head. Imagine little pieces of information, chemicals and molecules floating around in your head. Information is stored on them. And when the moment someone says your name and says that this person is a singer, they say your name is on a neuron, the fact that you're a singer is on a neuron. And when those two come together, it creates what we call a synapse. So the very idea of thinking is connecting. And every single thing we do requires connections in the brain. So on a very biological basis, I believe fundamentally our purpose is to create and connect. The moment we stop creating, connecting, the moment we stop thinking, we start to wither away. And this is important that everyone understands this, is that on a fundamental biological level, that if you are not creating and connecting, you're not living, you are withering, you're not growing. So to be able to grow, you have to create and to connect. If you want to grow a muscle, you have to create a movement. If you want to sing, you have to open your mouth and connect to sound, to produce a sound. Whatever it is you want to do, if you want to invest, you've got to connect funds, resources to a concept. So irrespective, the bottom basis of life, our biological reason for existing is to create and connect. And I believe this with all my heart, that when I decide to love someone, or I decide to hug someone, or I decide to greet someone, I'm creating a movement, I'm creating a connection, and from there, there is produced an emotion, a feeling, a gratification, a sense of belonging. And all of those warm, feely sort of emotional things come from the fact that I created and I connected. So creating and connecting in a particular space, and before I get too ahead of myself, if you create and connect, for example, on this podcast, in my example, my biological purpose is to create and connect, and my active purpose is doing a podcast that I'm creating and connecting with an audience with ideas. So I want you to follow this. The third is sort of your spiritual purpose. We have the ability to attach spiritual meaning to the above that gives life to the previous two. Now, I'm not going to get into very specific religious context, but I'm talking spiritually, that to feel that there is an extraordinary sort of sense of meaning beyond just connecting and beyond just being active in your purpose. There is a sense, a higher sense of meaning. And I'm going to unpack that in a moment. But those are the three basic levels. Active purpose, what you're doing now, that's very fundamental, very sort of basic. Your biological purpose, which is creating and connecting. And then your spiritual purpose, which is sort of the higher sort of form of meaning that produces sort of a spiritual existence. Now, let's talk about seeking and discovering your purpose. I believe that wherever you have been torn, wherever you have been challenged to some extreme extent. So if you grew up in a situation where you had all the money in the world, but your family went through sort of an extreme sort of divorce and it tore you up. Or let's say you were molested, or let's say you were homeless, or let's say you just traveled a lot and it pulled your very idea of what it meant to be alive, or what it meant to be a person, or it stretched your identity. Or let's say you grew up in a mixed home, or whatever extreme thing you sort of experienced outside of conventional society, wherever you've been pulled or pushed or torn or challenged at a very high level, that is the beginning or the building blocks of where all three forms of these purposes can come together, where the spiritual purpose, the biological purpose of creating and connecting, and your active purpose can all exist in one. So let me go back. Wherever you've been torn, wherever you've been stretched, wherever you've been challenged, that is a space that creates an extraordinary reservoir for you to be able to live all three of these levels of purpose. Now, there's potential to enter what I call the purpose zone. When you are fortunate enough to develop a skill inspired by your life challenges, where you've been torn, and the world has a deep need for what you are giving or serving to the world. An example, sometimes as in Oprah's case, the world needs you and your skill, but you are the first, so there is resistance, as with her. When Oprah first came out and to do her talk show, and this is a wonderful case study. This is a really wonderful example, so pay close attention to this. When Oprah first came out, Oprah was a very sort of deep person who had gone through a lot of personal issues that had created this deeper connection to want to listen, to want to help, and to want to inspire people. I mean, Oprah had literally, most people know her stories, but as a child, she had been sort of raped. She had gone through sort of deep issues with her family, being torn apart and so forth. And it forced her to go internal to become deeply empathetic and want to listen. Now, when she first did her talk show, she had this idea of wanting to have more meaningful things, but the producers and the owners wanted to do shows that were a bit more ratchet. But she kept pushing, and ratchet meaning a little bit ghetto. So she started off the genre in her talk shows having shows that were a bit more sort of street or rough and so forth. Gossipy type of shows. But then she evolved and she settled into her purpose zone. She had already entered her purpose, her active purpose, by having a job that was a talk show. She had entered a biological purpose by creating and connecting conversations. But she went into her spiritual purpose when she started creating change and meaning in people's lives, when the show's format changed to inspire people. So hopefully you're following that. I want to give you my personal example. I was stretched and torn at a very early, early age, really pulled apart and really challenged from issues like my family losing their jobs because all the factories where I grew up in North Carolina had moved overseas. And they were struggling to find work, good quality human beings struggling to find work. So that made things very challenging for me. So I found myself designing my own clothes, cutting clothes up, making things for myself because I had to physically just survive. But I also started writing notebooks and notes about what it meant to be who I was because people started treating me different when I didn't have things as a kid. When I didn't have what the other kids had, people treated me different. And when I was fortunate, like an uncle or someone was to purchase me new clothes and I looked like everyone else, people started treating me like everyone else. So this never made sense to me. So I started writing things down and I started writing and I started, you know, studying philosophy because I couldn't understand how material things caused people to treat me different. And I also couldn't understand how it impacted my confidence the way it did. So I started writing notes and I started to create. And then the older I got, I realized that I enjoyed doing basic things like designing and creating things, designing clothes, making sort of creative things like the watch ranges that I produce. But more importantly, my biological purpose being to create and to connect, being able to do that in design, being able to do that in writing books and philosophizing on, you know, branding and purpose and human behavior, I found it easy. And it all comes because I had been torn in areas where I was forced as a kid to really have to contemplate and figure out what it was and what it is I had to do for survival. And much like Oprah, meaning, you know, having gone through challenges, I'm very far from Oprah, but the principles are the same. You may not have billions like Oprah. You may not have a few rands like me. Whatever it is, your background, I want it to become very clear to you that the principles are the same. Wherever you've been torn, wherever you've been pulled, wherever you've been stretched, and it doesn't have to be a poverty, sad story. It can be a very simple example where you grew up and you were put into a school where you didn't speak the language, or you grew up in an environment where your neighbors were just different from you guys and you felt less, or maybe you felt more and you questioned why you were privileged. Whatever it is, wherever you were forced to the outskirts of your thinking, wherever you were challenged and pushed, that is the vast reservoir of where your skill sets, your deeper instincts and your desires to be able to create, where the spiritual purpose starts to sort of bubble up and build so that you can create in your biological purpose, where you can have active purpose inside of a daily sort of life. So I believe you can have multiple active purposes. As for me, for example, having this podcast, having a TV show on CNBC Africa, I speak and consult and mentor all around this idea of human and brand behavior. All these active purposes can live and coexist. All these things are linked to my sort of biological instincts, which is to create and connect. But ultimately, on a very spiritual level, I believe that I'm creating meaning and putting meaningful things out in the universe. I like what Washington Irving said. He says, great minds have purpose. Others have wishes. Little minds are tamed and subdued by misfortunes. But great minds rise above them. And I want you to think about that. That every single person will go through challenges. Every single person will be pushed. Every single person will be able, will be placed in a position where they'll be forced to overcome a particular limitation or a challenge or some sort of dynamic that have created a discomfort. Wherever there's been some level of discomfort or some provocative thing that's happened internally in your mind, there is a production going on that is inspiring you to create meaning so that you can create and connect, so that you can move forward to an active purpose and an actual job. Now, I want you to think about the people that you know who seem to be living their purpose, who seem to know their purpose. I want you to write down a list of five people. And then I want you to trace back those people and what they've experienced and what they may have experienced and what you know about their life when they grew up. I guarantee you, you can point back to from their success and their ability to live in a zone to being inspired by some sort of challenge growing up. They found that sort of spiritual meaning in their early, or relating back to their sort of early exposure or challenges. Test me. Let me know. You can email me, timothymaurice@gmail.com. I really appreciate everyone who's been following the podcast and been engaging ideas. It really means a lot. I've been getting emails galore. People follow me on social media at Timothy Maurice, M-A-U-R-I-C-E. It means so much that you continue to subscribe on iTunes. It means the world. And when you go and you list these people and you list the people that you know really well, be honest with yourself as well. And don't be afraid, or be courageous. Be courageous in going and confronting what you went through. And if you need support or you need help, that's fine. But make sure that whatever you do, you go and have a hard conversation in the mirror. You look at yourself and you confront the reality that you have definitely without a shadow of a doubt, have been pressed, pulled, exposed. There is not a single human being on this planet that has not gone through some sort of spiritual, mental challenge, where some sort of identity challenge, some sort of stretching or pulling or being challenged. There is no single person on this planet. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a prince in some country. I don't care if you are Prince William. I don't care if you grew up in the wealthiest family in the world or the poorest or rural area or city. It doesn't matter. We've all been pulled and stretched on some level. So I'm going to go to a break, and in a moment we'll come back with we'll come back with some more insights on this idea of discovering your purpose. But before I go to the break, quickly, I want you to also, once you list some people that have gone through, that you know that are living their purpose, and you found out what they've gone through, or if you've been able to study what they've gone through, I want you to also consider on a very sort of serious level to list one thing, just to identify with one thing that you feel like pulled, stretched, or challenged you. And then when I come back or when we move forward to the next phase, you'll see how you can create a signature for yourself inside of your purpose and to create a brand, which is a big part of my work, and be able to thrive at the very highest level. We'll be right back.
I will remember how you kissed me under the lamppost back on 6th Street, hearing you whisper through the phone, wait for me to come home.
Welcome back to Unbranded, and today we're discussing discovering your purpose. We're trying to demystify this notion of building your purpose. Religious groups and great philosophers have made it seem so mystical. This is very deep. You got to discover your purpose. You got to go eat, pray, love. You got to go sit in the middle of India. If you don't have the money to live in India for a year, well, maybe you can just download this podcast. And if you know friends who are going through this deep sort of spiritual space, and everybody at the church and the mosque and synagogues have made them feel horrible about their existence because they haven't heard this loud, audible voice that told them, your purpose is to do this, then enjoy the rest of this podcast as we finish off discovering your purpose, finding it in a very sort of simple way. Just a quick recap, the three levels of purpose, that's active, biological, and spiritual. And wherever I showed you that by going back to the spaces where you have been pulled, stretched, pushed to some sort of extreme. And again, I want to stress this. It has nothing to do with poverty. Sure, poverty and going through tough times, having no money, these are a pulling, stretching experience. But that is not the only way to be pulled or stretched. It can be anything. It can be a person who seen something too young, or maybe they experienced something that happened to their neighbor, or they saw an accident, or somebody passed away at an early age. Whatever it is, maybe you just experienced something that challenged or pulled you. At that point, it is creating a reservoir of meaning. And that's part of where the sort of spiritual purpose comes from, is the ability to have a meaningful capacity to be able to add value to a world because the fuel has been built inside of you organically. And when I say that, the moment I was pressed and pulled in the area of thought leadership by writing notes down for the point of clarity on what I was going through, when I had to design things because I didn't have clothes, that produced inside of me not only a skill set, but it produced inside of me this reservoir of meaning or fuel to sort of drive me. So I wanted to be clear there. There are spiritual purposes where there is deep sort of meaning. And don't let anyone tell you that it has to be some sort of hocus pocus deep stuff. That is quite simple. And then remember your biological purpose. If you're struggling to get to that level of spiritual purpose, just remember the two other forms of purpose are very simple. Your biological purpose, which is to create and connect. The brain is wired to make connection. It is wired to connect. And at the end of the day, if you're doing nothing else, move from where you are. Get off the couch. Make a connection. Meet some new people. Move into spaces where you can experience life. Because I'm going to give you one secret in a moment before we transition. I'm only going to go 3 more minutes. So follow me closely. If you travel, if you experience new museums, if you go for walks, what you're doing is creating connections and environments, and you open yourself up for the ability for the universe to connect to your spirituality. And then you start to get ideas of how you can apply what's been building inside of you in the active form, in some sort of job, in some sort of career, in some sort of volunteer effort. So this ability, I gave you the three levels of purpose, but if you want to start with your spiritual, that's fine. Going inside of yourself, finding out where you've been sort of pushed or pulled, and then figure out where you can sort of create and connect, and knowing that you have to create and connect before this thing starts to come up inside of you. And then lastly, your active purpose, where you do something that's very sort of obvious while you're doing it, like having a job and so forth. Or you can work backwards. Just get a job. Start biologically creating and connecting and see if this sort of spiritual purpose and your spirituality sort of bubbles up or evolves inside of you. It doesn't matter. And I'm telling you, there's no right or wrong way to approach this. And I hope through today's conversation that I've been able to demystify this notion of this great sort of, you know, thing. But I promised you I was going to give you a way to create a sort of a signature for your brand. So I want to read from an article I wrote about developing your signature quickly, and I'm going to let you make up your own mind, okay? So I said, we know everyone is unique, but are you able to own and use your uniqueness for your personal gain? If you were born in 1415 rather than in 2015, no one would care that you have something special to offer. In fact, in most places in the world, you would have been assigned a career path just by being born. If you were born royal, you would be a member of the royal family. Simple. If you were born of lower class, you were stuck in the lower caste. Whether you liked the farming or not, if you were born a farmer, you were going to stay a farmer. The idea that someone could come from a lower class and become CEO was simply unheard of, and it's fairly new in history. We are all very fortunate. It doesn't matter where you come from. I have no one in my family who's ever written a best-selling book, but I've been blessed to write four. But more importantly, I come from one of those classes classified as middle or lower middle, whatever that means. All I know is there were good times and bad ones were, you know, depends, you're a kid, probably bad. Times when we didn't have running water and my sister and I would have to be sent to with buckets to get water from a lake or a creek or a neighbor's tap in order to ensure we had bath water. Yep, that's how I grew up. When you see me wearing fancy socks and stuff, just remember this. I'm certainly not telling you this to tell you to feel sorry for me, but I'm simply sharing this in order to add context about how to discover your signature. Discovering my personal signature happened when I began to completely be honest with myself. For many years, I was conflicting and even in denial about my upbringing. Only when I looked myself in the mirror, and I want you to get this, and began to acknowledge that there was many amazing things about what could be perceived as being disadvantaged. Now, this is key. Firstly, there were many people around me who seemed materially rich, and this inspired me to think about the differences in how people accumulated their wealth. Once I began thinking deeply, an unquenchable curiosity was birthed. And this is where we link back to this purpose. In school, I became known for the kid who was so curious. I would research to seek meaning in everything. And when I couldn't find context and meaning, I would literally make up words. And that's a true story. Even in my high school yearbook, my friend Chad teased me about the fact that I'll be the guy who made up words. So there is no coincidence that my second book is titled Personavation, which is a word I invented and made up. This was the first of my signatures where I became known for something publicly, creating a philosophical lens on how people could see the world. My second key signature was design, particularly clothing, but not limited to. The first garment I ever designed was a pair of underpants because my parents couldn't afford new ones. So as I was continued to create clothing and other items due to necessity, my skills grew and I witnessed how going from the poor disadvantaged kid to the creative kid, that shift, changed how people treated me. The curious creative signature has followed me ever since. So, from the spirituality to your biological creating to your active purpose, your signature can come and arise from becoming good and talented at that particular context of your spirituality and your active sort of purpose. So, in conclusion, honor your background. Pay attention to all that you've been through. Resist the temptation to suppress the bad and talk through it. And if it was really traumatic, seek help. But ultimately, learn from it. In the heart of your most extreme past experiences, it's in the heart that you will find the power of your signature. I mentioned Oprah earlier. She's one of the most successful people in entertainment history. She discovered her signature after experiencing the trauma of her youth. There's no other way around it. That's where she found her empathy. That's where she found her need and desire to connect and help others. Everyone has a signature. Unfortunately, you were born in an era where you're able, no matter where you come from, to discover your signature and actually sign on the bottom of the world. So, thank you so much today for joining me on this conversation of discovering your purpose. I told you last week, if you download the last week's podcast, that I'm going to focus more on specific sort of content We'll have interviews from people from different parts of the world, but sometimes I'll have very sort of impassioned shows like this from my own sort of writing and my own sort of thinking and what I feel that matters, and we'll engage you on very specific content. So I look forward to your feedback. Again, you can email me, Timothy, at timothymaurice.com or timothymaurice@gmail.com, or follow me on @timothymaurice. And now we shift to probably your favorite part of the show, which is iCyberHealth feature. How are you, Rianette?
Well, thank you, Tim. Thank you for sharing that story. It's so good to learn about our signatures. And at SafetyNet, our signature is your fingerprint, because it's about, we all have our uniqueness, and it's with our fingerprints that we are typing and liking and sharing and either breaking someone's heart or making their day, right?
Sure.
So let's get into the cyber health feature for today. Thank you for joining me, Rianette, from SafetyNet Cyber Safety. The question today is, are you a likeaholic? So ask yourself a couple of questions.
Likeaholic.
A likeaholic. I think there are worse things to be, but this one could have a definite impact on your family life and your personal relationship. So I'm going to name a couple of things, and maybe it's good to just keep track of how many of these you say yes to determine if you're a likeaholic. So what people will do for likes is, for instance, do you post a photo of friends under the influence of alcohol? Or do you pretend to be somewhere or doing something that you're not exactly doing and that's not true? Do you post a photo of friends wearing something revealing? Do you reveal something confidential about your employer? Do you reveal something embarrassing about a coworker? Or do you perhaps post a photo of yourself under the influence of alcohol? What's interesting is that in the hunt for likes, men are ready to go even further than women. Aside from posting embarrassing photos of friends, men are also okay with taking the risk of posting their own embarrassing photos. So men also get more upset if their posts are not liked by their partners. And
why do you like my photo?
Yeah,
I actually heard a gay couple get into a huge fight over this.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting. It's the statistics say 24% men versus 17% women. So that was a couple of things that you can use to measure whether or not you're hunting for likes. So how does the hunt for likes influence our daily life? We live in a rapidly changing world. We know that technology is everywhere, and having the ability to have contact with people all the time is fantastic. But maybe you should ask yourself, when last did you have physical contact with the people you love? It's quite interesting to say that, or to see people admitted that they now communicate less with their parents. 13% of respondents said so. Children and their partners, and in obviously their friends, but it was quite scary to see that they communicate less with their partners because they can see and communicate with them via social media. In addition, the hunt for likes influences our family life. For example, 21% of people admit that their relationship with their children were damaged when the latter saw their parents in a compromising situation on social media. But what was quite fascinating is that parents are not as much fazed as the statistics looking at kids. They seem to be less quick to judge. Only 14% of parents admitted that they were annoyed by their children's online behavior. In addition, around 16% of people said that relationships with their spouse or partner was damaged by compromising posts. So, and I think there are many stories where you can look at this. And what's fascinating is to think about virtual reality and how this will also become have an impact. If you think about affairs in virtual reality and having other families in virtual reality, the time you spend there, you're not spending with the real people in your life. So, is this really such a big deal? Well, media psychologists at the University of Würzburg, Dr. Astrid Carolus, warns that people cannot always evaluate their online communication objectively. So that's why they recommend one simple thing, and that is remember when you last visited your friends or parents, maybe it's time to pay them a visit. And I like the word pay them a visit because it takes time, it takes effort, right? It's a relationship that you need to nurture. So are the likes the new standard of self-esteem? And how does this really impact us? Now, the results of the latest global study by Kaspersky Labs, it's a global cybersecurity company, indicate that social media now leaves many people feeling negative instead of the positive that we think it should. In the survey of 16,750 people worldwide, Kaspersky Lab unearthed people's frustrations with social media. People often experience negative emotions after spending time on social media due to a variety of reasons, and these overpower positive effect of social media. And I don't know about you, Timothy, but there are many times when I've realized that it doesn't end on if you're scrolling down on Facebook or Twitter, wherever you go. It carries on. So you never get that satisfaction, that feeling of, I watched the movie and it ended. You could always just carry on and on and on.
Bottomless.
It is. Yeah. It's bottomless, and it's creating, it's stirring interesting emotions. What they found in the study is that most people globally, 65%, use social networks to stay in touch with friends and colleagues, obviously. But then 60% use it to see entertaining and funny posts, which is still positive. But people also devote a significant amount of time to create their digital profile and, you know, filling it with all kinds of positive moments, posting things that make them smile, and telling their networks about great things that they do. But earlier, what I mentioned, those things, well, we can argue whether or not that's positive. But previous research, and this is something, Timothy, I thought you would find interesting, based on a post that you did earlier this week where you contemplated to maybe go off Facebook.
Yes.
And previous research has demonstrated people's frustration with social media, as 78% admitted that they have considered leaving social networks altogether. However, the only thing that makes people stay on social media is the fear of losing their digital memories, such as their photos and contacts with their friends. And I'm very happy to say that to help people decide more freely if they want to stay on social media or leave without losing their digital memories, Kaspersky Lab is developing a new app. It's called FF Forget. So triple F, Forget, which will allow people to back up all of their memories from the social networks they use and keep them in a safe, encrypted memory container, and will give people the freedom to leave any network whenever they want without losing what belongs to them, their digital lives. And I like the fact that it will be encrypted as well. It adds another layer of safety, yes, especially when we consider kids and their digital footprints. So if Forget is planned for 2017, and if you're interested to look at that, you can go to ffforget.kaspersky.com. It's spelled with a K, kaspersky.com, to get updates and insights and provide your feedback and get early access. So what I love about this is just for us to become more aware again of the purpose of social media and how we use it. And let's remember that there are still physical beings around. Like, there's another story of someone that I know who was diagnosed with cancer. And in the beginning, people would visit all the time. And then this person would, he would post updates on how he felt and treatments and so forth, how that was going. But after a while, no one was visiting him anymore because they didn't have to. They didn't have to find out how he was. They didn't have to call to find out. He already told them. And it was quite sad to see how that impacted the relationship. So it might remind us that, you know, we can go and actually knock on the door. So something else I want to just quickly mention is Safety News is running a competition on our Facebook page where you can win a security software package from Kaspersky Lab for multiple devices. So you need to go to our Facebook page at Safety Net, SAVET Net, because we save lives by creating awareness. So that's why it's with a V. And yeah, so have fun on the cyber highways. It's as good as always time to go and check out what you do, how you do it, and who you influence. So thank you so much for your time, and we hope to connect with you soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rena, for helping people discover their purpose, how to navigate their purpose online. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Unbranded.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.